things going on today. For lunch after this service, we have a nacho lunch. Who's already signed up? Who needs to? I don't know if it's too late, but we have a nacho lunch right after here this service in the Family Center. It's going to be an incredible time of fellowship. We also have this evening we'll be having evening service, so make sure you're marking your calendars. Don't take too good of a nap. Make sure that you are ready to roll. 6 p.m. this evening we will be having service, and on the 9th, this Friday, we have two events going on. We have a youth event this Friday. We have a North Central Section youth rally at 7:30 p.m. We'll be leaving at 5 o'clock. It'll be at the UPC of Denton, and it is going to be Brother Stephen Rhodes is preaching. And so that's always fun. It's fun making those announcements, isn't it? The anointed word of God will be brought forth. And this, we are excited. So youth will be leaving. It's a dress Sunday best. And we will be leaving around 5 o'clock. And it's going to be a great time in Denton. We have also on the 9th, our Mothers and Friends movie night will be at 6 p.m. at the Family Life Center. There is a $5 sign up in the foyer. Make sure you make your way, ladies and friends, to the foyer and sign up for that, ladies, for that movie night, Mothers and Friends. It will be a great time. We also have on the 10th will be men's breakfast. That's a great time, men, to get together to eat. It's a fellowship. It is a blast to go to. So make sure that you are going and planning to do that. Men's breakfast on the 10th. On the 11th is our Mother's Day service. There will be only a morning service at 10 a.m. May 11th will be our Mother's Day service. And on the 18th, the next Sunday, is going to be our graduation service in the morning. It will be in morning service, 10 a.m., our graduation service. We've got a lot of seniors this year. It is exciting. And so it is going to be a blast to honor our seniors, to honor our graduates, and to really just have a great time and celebrate together and honor them. Amen. Who loves our young people?
Amen.
Yeah. Praise God. We have some incredible young people, and so it's a good chance to get to honor them in that service. On the 25th is going to be our Memorial Day service, so also only a morning service on the 25th for our Memorial Day. And there is also, you may have seen a table in the foyer where you can place a gift or cards or gift cards or money in a gift box for Andrew Thomas and his fiance Mackenzie, who will be getting married May the 24th. So think about what you needed whenever you were about to get married. We were young and about to get married, and how much money you needed. And so go ahead and make your way to that table and be sure to give them and bless them. I know that they will appreciate it. We also have our Mother's Memorial, which you have probably seen. I think it's on the wall right here to the right in the foyer. It is a shows a kitchen, and we are liking to raise $4,700, which would pay for a washer, dryer, dishwasher, microwave, stove, and refrigerator for a missionary family. It is an incredible thing to do. Maybe we don't all get to go to the mission field. Maybe we don't all go overseas to serve in missions, but we can all give. We can all do our part to push the kingdom forward, to push the message forward. And that's something that we can do, is to give towards the kingdom and move that mission. We have also our coffee room has t-shirts for sale, and all proceeds go back to the church. And we have our Father's Day raffle. So find a leader of the men's group, the watch, to purchase or use the QR code. Or I'm sure Brother Ronnie Morton will grab a hold of you and he will convince you. He's a salesman, and he will get you and he will convince you to buy a raffle ticket. And so we are excited for everything going on in our church. Amen. Amen. We could all stand up. Here's the part, all we have to do is do what we are called to do. It doesn't take much thinking. It doesn't take much decision making. All it does is say, the scripture says, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. And if we have breath in our lungs, if we are awake today, if we can lift our hands no matter how high, if we can clap our hands, if we can lift up our voice, that means that we are able to glorify our King of Kings. And when we begin to worship God, when we begin to lift him up, he begins to move throughout this place. And when God moves, the miraculous happens. When God moves, miracles happen. take place in your life, in your family, in your situation. And so what we begin to do is just stir up the presence today in Jesus' name.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your life. And there is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won. You've already won.
Show me
one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible.
Oh,
there is a kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light. Turn into praise, shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into praise, shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into praise, shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out of pain. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into praise, shake off despair as I sing out your name. Show me a mountain he can move. He's a God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Some names, and he will bring it to your attention that your prayers will make a difference. Yes. That the prayers of the church body together will make a difference in somebody's life. Yes. And it may be in your life. Right. And so I want to make sure somebody's praying for me. Yes. And if that's the case, I better be praying for somebody else as well. When the church body binds together and begins to pray, miracles take place. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Miracles take place. Amen. That lives begin to change in Jesus' name. And so we have Dee Dee Freeland, Mike Ushry's sister, Peyton Horton, Manuel Martinez, Jeremy and Natalie Berry, Sharon Little, Deborah Metzger, Danny Bramlett, Sandra Carter, Mandy Stinson, Sister Dickie, and David Young. And if you feel compelled to step out in faith, maybe you've been in a situation for too long, you've been fighting against a battle for so long, and you are just ready for a change, I encourage you to step out in faith. Yeah, sometimes it's scary, but it's not as scary as staying where you are right now. To step out in faith, to step forward, and ministers will anoint you with oil and pray with you and for you a prayer of faith. And God is going to move throughout this congregation. God is going to move because God is a healer. He is a comforter. He is a deliverer. He is a redeemer. He is the source and he is the answer to every single one of your needs. And all we have to do is surrender it to him and say, God, have your way in my life today. And so step forward if you feel led to. Father, thank you so much for your healing power. Father, thank you for your promise that you will never leave nor forsake us. And God, I pray that we step forward in faith as our faith begins to rise and you begin to touch every single one of these needs brought forward, that you heal, that you deliver, and that you restore today, and you be who you said that you would always be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
tithe and our offering. We're going to continue to worship and move forward in this presence, this beautiful presence that we feel in this house this morning. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for your promise. And God, thank you for our ability to give of ourselves, to give of our finances, to give what you have given to us first back into your kingdom. And God, I pray that you bless what is given. I pray that you bless the giver. The word is already anointed. So God, I pray that you anoint the man of God today to deliver it, and that you anoint us to be responsive and to receive your word today, for there to be a change in our hearts and our minds and our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're right beside me,
and that is
Why don't we all stand, lift our hands to heaven and worship the Lord today? The Holy Ghost is in this house. God, we love you this afternoon, this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, you are a covenant-keeping God. God, you're a covenant-keeping God. You're a promise-keeper, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thankful I serve a God that I can feel. Thankful I serve a God that I can call out to, and he does hear, and he does answer prayer, in case you didn't know that today. He's a good God. Turn to somebody and tell them, you look great today. Now, I hope you meant that and you didn't lie. Amen. If you did, you're going to hell for that stuff. Amen. Amen. So good to be in church on a Sunday morning. Didn't this praise team do great? My, my, my. Give him a hand. The Holy Ghost in the house today. Amen, amen, amen. Let me get this couple preliminaries out of the way and say again what an honor it is for Jenna and I and our family to be here and to be asked to be your pastor. It's just an honor today. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say what I said back in March the 9th, what an honor it is. And I've communicated this to Pastor and Sister Meyer both, what an honor it is to literally, in a sense, stand on their shoulders. And we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Pastor and Sister Meyer. We thank God for the man of God. Amen. 42 years of faithful service is nothing to be laughed at all. And I'm so honored to stand in this pulpit, this sacred desk. And not just this desk, but so many great men have stood behind this pulpit and other pulpits over the years. And I'll be preaching a message here in several weeks about prayer, and I talked to Pastor James Kilgore here this week to try to get the altar, the pictures of the altar that Brother C.P. Kilgore built here in the 1940s, and this thing started in prayer, and it has to end in prayer.
Yes, amen.
Amen. The Bible says, beware lest you begin in the spirit and you end in the flesh. Amen. We want this thing to continue. Prayer is where it's at, amen. 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 I'm so thankful for his presence, and it's great to be in church. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. I know we had Easter already, but we can have Easter every Sunday just about.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says this. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Notice these next few words in verse 7. The angel speaking here. He said in verse 7, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going from before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, everybody said, "Jesus." Behold, Jesus met them saying, "Hey, rejoice." So they came, held him by his feet and worshiped him. Now notice what Jesus said. He echoes the words of the angels. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Everybody said it with me. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. I want to preach today just for a few minutes on simply the three words, go and tell. I put a blank at the end of this slide today, and we'll get into that here in a few minutes. But turn to someone, tell them, go and tell. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray the Holy Ghost be in this house. Thank you for your sweet presence that this praise team led us into today, God. Anoint these sweet believers, God. More than anything, God, reach down to a heart that feels destitute, that feels broken, that feels alone. And let them know that they are not alone, that you still sit on the throne high and lifted up, God, and your train of victory still fills the temple. We thank you for it by faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said amen. Would you clap your hands one more time before you're seated today? Amen. God bless you for standing for the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. Go and tell. What is unequivocally the darkest period in Scripture, yet the most powerful and meaningful, was the moment our Savior, Jesus Christ, was beaten so severely that even those who knew him on the cross, the Bible says, did not recognize him. We understand that it was the Christ we love, with stripes laid across his back by a Roman whip, laced with pieces of bone, metal, rock, and glass. And every stripe didn't just sting, but if you study the history of the cross and the agonizing pain he went through when the whip was laid to his back, it tore, it ripped, and it pulled flesh from his body. The darkest day on earth was the day our suffering Savior wore a crown of thorns shoved into his skull, blood pouring from gaping wounds as he tried with everything in him to catch a breath, pushing up against the nail in his feet, pulling against the nails in his hand, all with no hope and no reason, or not being able to breathe or catch a breath. And even nature testified to the weight of this moment. The scripture tells us that at noon, darkness fell across the land. And when our Savior cried out with the words that would shake eternity, "It is finished," the Bible says the veil in the temple was torn. The earth, it quaked. Rocks split and the graves were opened in downtown Jerusalem. There has never been another day like it before it or since that day. Heaven held its breath. The earth went dark, and hell for the first time felt the weight of defeat. It was the day that changed everything. For up until that exact day, for nearly 4,000 years, humanity had been waiting and yearning and anticipating a Savior who would come and be the sacrifice for all of their sins. As commentary points out, for 4,000 years, every sacrifice that was ever made, it pointed forward. Every prophecy ever spoken whispered his name. And on that day, the wait was finally over. Nearly 700 years before the cross, that prophet Isaiah, he saw it coming, and he described it like this in his book. I'm reading from the NIV. He said, "He," speaking of Jesus, "was despised. He was rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering who was familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced," or "he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised," or "he was crushed for your iniquities. The chastisement," or the punishment, "that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." He said in verse 6 that all of us, like sheep, we've all gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the sin, the iniquity of us all. Verse 7 says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so did he not open his mouth. God, who was manifest in the flesh and revealed as the Christ. He came to this earth as the suffering servant, and he lived and died fulfilling every prophecy concerning him. And for 3 days, we know, we celebrated this some weeks ago, he lay in the heart of the earth, further fulfilling his own words spoken to the Jews in John 2. He said, if you destroy this temple, if you destroy this body, in 3 days I will raise it back up. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason why you feel so free in your soul today is because the Christ, he did not stay in the grave, but he rose on the third day exactly like he said he would, with the keys of. And he spoke and he said this in Revelations, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen. And I have the keys to death and hell. And by him rising from the grave, good God Almighty, I feel glory up in the room. By him rising from the grave like he did, like he said he would do it, it guaranteed all of humanity that there really is hope beyond the physical grave. This ain't in my notes, but I feel it right here. For the last month and a half, 2 months, I've laid some precious people in the ground. I've laid a 26-year-old in the ground 3 weeks ago. I laid a 40-something-year-old in the ground here about 4 months ago. I know that sting, what it can do to us. Heart, but by him getting up out of the grave, it guaranteed to this preacher, and it guarantees to everybody sitting on the sound of my voice, that there really is hope beyond a physical grave. And more importantly, there is hope beyond the spiritual grave if you will reach out and but take hold of what has already been given to you. We know that his death, it wasn't any death. It was the spotless Lamb of God laying down his life for the sins of the world. It was sacrifice, substitution, and redemption wrapped in the body of Jesus Christ. His burial wasn't just any burial. It was the pause before the promise. Hell thought it had won, but heaven knew better. And his resurrection surely wasn't just any resurrection, Brother Griffith. It was death defeated, the grave conquered, and the door to eternal life swung wide open. It was the proof that not only is he Savior, ladies and gentlemen, but he is the King over every situation and over every problem. We ought to thank God right now that he got up out of the grave like he did. Thank you, God, that you didn't stay down in the grave. Hallelujah. And we know it was on that first day of the week, on a Sunday in Jewish calendar time, when Jesus got up out of the grave. Our scriptures that we read today tell us two different times, nearly the same exact phrase. First, we read of the two Marys coming to the tomb, and the angel tells them, go and tell it quickly that Jesus, he's alive and that he's risen from the dead. And on their way, as if Jesus didn't already know this, being that he's God, he stops them again. Said, I know you just saw a supernatural being and it freaks you out because you don't see angels every day. And I know you heard the word. I know you heard me say go and tell. But I just want to echo that one more time. Go and tell my disciples that, and I'm alive. I'll meet them in Galilee. There they will see me. And in case you didn't know, anytime Scripture repeats itself, especially when it's in close proximity, it's a signal that you better pay attention. God's trying to say something to the church, or God's trying to tell something to somebody. Be aware that I'm trying to speak to you. It's heaven and earth echoing the same command. Because the resurrection isn't something you keep to yourself. Amen. It's something that you go and tell. And it's on this Sunday morning, if God will help me today, on the first Sunday in May, that I want to take this a step further, if God will help us. And I on purpose put a blank at the end of our message title of Go and Tell, because I wanted you in the pew to fill in the blank with whatever it is that's holding you back. I've not come today to preach again, as I said a few months ago. I've not come to preach for the victory, but I have come to preach from the victory. That simply means we're not trying to win the battle. Jesus already did that, and I'm just reminding you what already belongs to you. Now, that does not mean that you will not still engage in spiritual battles, because God knows you will. But we do not engage in these battles hoping we'll win. We fight. I fight knowing I've already got the victory in a man called Jesus. Now, if you can believe that God can speak at Starbucks, that's up to you. But he spoke to me this morning at Starbucks, and this is what I felt in the Holy Ghost, and this is in my notes, but I need to say it before we go any further, that somebody in this house today, you have got to leave here with a made-up mind. Hear me right now. A made-up mind that says, I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath, because the devil, hear me, somebody in the Holy Ghost, because the devil's been beating your brains out trying to convince you that you're fighting a battle that you may end up losing. You hear me right now. You will not lose it if you get authority over the spirit today. Now, you will lose if you don't gain authority. But God wanted me to tell somebody that you need to make up your mind, and I'll explain that, that knows, have a mind that knows and understands who you are in Jesus. It's not B-R-A-D. Brad couldn't heal a dead frog on his best day. Amen. And you ain't God, and you ain't as spiritual as you think you are. Let a devil knock you upside the head and you'll find out you really ain't what you think you are in the spirit. But with Jesus, I can do all things. So it's not you, it's all him. I was singing an old Mississippi choir song this morning coming to church. It's entitled One More Day. And it got in my spirit driving to the Starbucks. And it was simply like this. What I'm telling someone about a made-up mind. You need to stop worrying about if I make it to tomorrow. Because Jesus said tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. But Lord, I thank you for one more day. I made up my mind that today I'm over. And I'm not under. And today I make up my mind. I'm going to move in the authority and the power in the name of Jesus. There's people up in this room, you've been worried about how you'll make it to next week, and you forget that you're in today, and the devil's got you in a headlock, beating your brains out with doubt and anxiety and depression, but you've been given one more day. And Jesus wants to know, can you take care of right now? And if you'll take care of right now, I've got the rest of it planned out. I'm not trying to wake any of you up who are still asleep. But that is the prayer. That you understand who you are in the spirit. That I'm leaving the house, hear me right now, not fighting for it, but I'm fighting from it, knowing I'm an overcomer by the word of my testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Let me just ask a weird question. We're Pentecost and we're half crazy anyway. When's the last time you stood up and said, I shall not die, but live? See how quiet I got? I love Jesus. He loves me. No, no, no. When's the last time you got sick of what's been holding you hostage? When's the last time you told what? I'll get to where I'm going in a few minutes, but you hear me right now. When's the last time you told whatever it is, I will not die? You thought you'd hear me, Lazarus. Uh-oh. Hear me, Lazarus. You thought you was buried to die. You were buried for a resurrection, son. This ain't where you die. This ain't the end. You thought it was over, but the Holy Ghost sent this preacher to tell you this isn't where it ends. It's just the beginning. Come on, somebody. I dare somebody in faith right now to stand up and tell the devil, I shall not die, but I will live by the power of the Holy Ghost. God have mercy. Hallelujah. 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 That's it, church. Come on right now. Tell the devil, you're not going to kill me today. This isn't where I die. Let's just take 30 seconds and pray. Turn to somebody and tell them, this ain't where it ends for you. Come on, get a sanctified look up in your eye and tell them, you don't die here. You believe that? And I'm on dangerous ground right now. You need to make sure the devil believes that before you leave this house today. God have mercy. You can be seated. God desires for you, sir, and for you, good ma'am, to grasp and to understand that the victory has already been won. And God desires for you to know that through the power of his Spirit, you have the authority. Paul said, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying we're fighting for a victory. He's saying God has already given us the victory. That's a verb, gives there. It is in the present active tense. It means it's an ongoing supply, or in other words, we live in that victory every day. And God desires for you to understand who you are in him. Why? So when you fight, when you pray, when you push with understanding that your victory has already been purchased on the cross by his precious blood. What did Peter say? Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our victory was laid in a tomb. And our victory got up out of a tomb. And our victory, Jesus Christ said, go and tell, I am alive. So what am I saying? Who or what do I go and tell? I understand the verse implies telling his disciples and being a witness for Christ. I get all of that. But I want to focus on you as an individual for the next few minutes. I want to personalize it and encourage you to take a journey in your mind and for you to tell whatever it is that laughs at you and tells you that you won't come out of this one. Whatever it is that tells you you'll always be labeled by your hanging. Whatever it is, I want you to go and tell it. In case you didn't get the memo, he is alive. And since he is alive, I've got a right to move from hopeless to hopeful. And since he is alive, I've got a right to move from broken to whole, from troubled to triumph, from lost to found. I just go and tell it that he is alive. And when the devil tries to tell you, what right do you have to say this? Where do you think you got that right to take that kind of authority? I want you to do me a favor. I talk to myself sometimes. Don't judge me on that. But talk to yourself and tell the devil, don't play dumb, devil. You already know where my right came from. I got it way back at the beginning when you came up in the garden strutting your stuff and you deceived Adam and Eve. And I told you, the devil, you're going to bruise my heel. But in the end, I'm going to crush your head, and everything that you tried to do is going to be in vain. It was God who was Christ that allowed the enemy to touch him. God said, I'm going to allow you, devil, to stir up betrayal against me from Judas and the crowd. You thought you were going to stop what I was doing from being accomplished, but what you don't understand is that I've always been somebody, hear me right now, I've always been in the driver's seat. I've always been in the one in control of your life, of your family, of your trouble. This is why I know the devil's dumb. He don't have much sense, because Paul said, none of the rulers of the age understood it. He said, if they would have known that the crucified Christ would have that kind of power and that type of authority, the Bible says they would have never done it. He said, devil, I'm going to let you think that you won. But when I get up on that third day, I will legally own everything over authority, over death and the grave. Commentary says when he got up on that third day, he didn't just rise. He rose with legal authority. He stood up owning death, hell, and the grave. What once held man captive now had a new master, and his name is Jesus. What once looked like defeat was actually destiny unfolding. What what I'm trying to tell you is this. What you're dealing with right now has not caught God by surprise. God's not reacting as if, oh man, I can't believe they stumbled into that trouble. You've got to know that your daddy, he wrote the entire book. And it's been best said like this: we live in time, but God lives in eternity. He's not pacing heaven wondering how it all ends. He already wrote the story. That's why the Bible says the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. He's not scrambling to fix things. He's already finished everything, and he wants you to get that in your spirit right now, that he is over your trouble. So you need to go and tell it. What it? Go and tell despair. He's alive. And I don't have to live in this complete loss of absence of any hope. Paul said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Go and tell fear, somebody, that he is alive. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Go and tell condemnation. I don't have to live with this guilt. I don't have to live with my past. I don't have to live with all the hang-ups of yesteryear, but I choose to look that spirit eye to eye this morning and tell him, this is not the end. This is where it all begins for me. Go and tell that old nasty spirit of bitterness. He is alive. Hello? I said, go and tell that spirit. He is alive. Paul said, get rid of all bitterness. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, your Christ forgave you. Hear me right now. I'm going to bring it down to a close in a few seconds, and God's going to move. But you don't have to beg for freedom. You declare it. You don't have to stay bound. You've been loose. You don't fight to win. You fight knowing the battle is already. You need today a made-up mind that's been reset by the power of God. And when your thinking gets right in the spirit, that's when things will begin to shift in your mind and in your spirit. That's why some of you have been fighting so much confusion. And you don't know why you're fighting what you're fighting, and you can't seem to get a grasp of it. It's because the adversary has been allowed to infiltrate your mind, and he thrives in confusion. But the word says that God is not the author of confusion. So therefore, God wants to reset your mind. He wants you to come alive in your understanding. And when your mind is right, you stop fighting for victory. It's not a survival mode. Hear me, somebody. This may not be for everybody, but I want to help somebody today. You've got to stop living like you're just surviving to make it to Wednesday. The Holy Ghost wants you to get up tomorrow morning and realize I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I've not been bound by this thing. It doesn't own me. I don't have to live this way. Well, you don't know my trouble. Well, all of us got trouble. Welcome to earth. But you don't have to let the trouble be the label that puts on top of you. Whatever you, oh God help me, whatever you do, stop calling yourself, I'm depressed, I'm anxiety driven. No, you're not. You've been more than a conqueror because God done gave you the victory. You just go and tell whatever it is, you've got to go. Go and tell anxiety, he's alive. Go and tell depression, he's alive. Go and tell sickness, he's alive. Go and tell loneliness, he's alive. Go and tell failure, he's alive. You can come to the keys, please. And I get my victory. Hear me. I get my victory. Again, not based off what I can do. You can't smile enough and you can't read enough self-help books to get you out. I'm not against some things, but you can't read that stuff and get you out of lots of trouble. But the way you overcome and the way you get your thinking back right is you've got to get along with God. In a secret place, if you will. You've got to get to a place where only you and God can meet. It could be at an altar. It could be at your house. It could be driving down the road. It could be like me at the coffee shop. Wherever you got to go, you just get along with Jesus for a little bit and let Jesus download some things into your spirit. Go tell regret. Hey, regret. He's alive. Go tell what tried to destroy your marriage. He's alive. Go tell whatever it is that's trying to come in and steal the joy out of your house, out of your family, out of your children, out of your grandkids. He is alive. Why? Hear me. Because it gets the focus off of Brad. And it says, devil, if you want to talk to somebody, just talk to my dad. If you want to deal with somebody, that's why the Bible says when the angel came to bury the body of Moses and the devil disputed him over the body, the angel never addressed the devil. The Bible says this, he said to the angel, the Lord rebuke thee. He had enough understanding, my brother, and I ain't got the power to do it by myself. I need the help of another world. Oh, God, I feel glory up in the room. And what's I'm telling somebody today, you came in here, you feel like you're headed for a grave. You feel like your mind has been crushed and your spirit's been beaten to pieces. But the Lord sent this preacher to tell you, you can get up over that today. You don't have to live that way any longer. You just go and tell whatever it is that's holding you hostage. I think I've told you before, and it's humorous, but I've been very serious in times when I've done this. Paul made a comment before he met King Agrippa, but when he talked to Agrippa, he said, I think myself happy. Read the Old Testament, David. The Bible says he lost his family, lost his wealth. Everybody wanted to kill him. It's not a good place to be. And David did what we all do, he talked to himself. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He asked the Lord, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? God said, yeah, pursue. You'll recover all. But sometimes, in my weird ways, I've stood in front of the mirror, strange, and talked to myself. Or I did what I'm going to encourage you to do. You get you a sticky note. And put on your bathroom mirror, your dashboard, wherever you see it, I don't matter. Because the next time that thing, whatever it is, tries to pull you back into a nasty, dark place, whatever it is that starts hounding you, telling you you're not going to make it, telling you it's over, you write this. Now, this is weird, I know, but remember that when you used to write letters to people? Now we just email and text, but you have an envelope and you'd put two up there and from there, just put two, my defeated foe. From God. God said, hear me. Now I'm talking to the devil now. You can talk to the devil later too. But he said, I am God. Isaiah 46, end of verse 9, verse 10. And there is none like me. He starts verse 10. You got to hear this. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Hear this, and I will do all of my pleasure. In other words, he said, devil, you need to know, and what God wants you to do and know. Devil, I need you to know, I win. It's already settled. He saw the end, and I'm just standing in his store. I'm just the character, if you will, on the stage of life. And you don't know all things, devil, because you're not omnipresent. But I know a man who already saw the end of things. And what you meant for my evil,
God's going to turn it around for my good. Everybody, do me a favor. Everybody said defeated. Now, this ain't the Bible, but it preaches good. Now, I don't know. The Bible calls the devil a serpent. When I refer to him, he's just a snake, whatever. But he apparently somehow walked in the garden on 2 feet. Had to. Either in physical or spiritual posture, he walked in, because when he got done deceiving Eve, he lost his feet. The Lord told him, because you did this, you're cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field, and on your belly shall you go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. God said, in essence, you may have walked in with some high posture, but I'm going to strip you down. Hear me, that's more than a physical act. It's a prophetic picture. God was saying, you will not stand over my creation again. You will crawl beneath it. I love this. Hear me. He may have walked in the garden on 2 feet, but God took his legs. He stripped him of his standing, of his authority, and he cursed him to crawl. That's why he's beneath me. Hear me, somebody. He's not beside me. He's not above me, because the Bible says I've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Jesus, God, I love it. Behold, I give you to tread on all serpents. Now, I want to tell someone a surprise story. Lots of what you're fighting right now, it's not always the devil. It's just what I allow to get in my spirit that he puts there. And then he leaves me alone, and that seed gives birth, because I can't shut my mind down. And my mind's running me crazy. And I try to sleep at night, but I can't sleep because the lights won't go off. And I wake up worrying about it. God, I feel Jesus talking. And I wake up the next day and I feel knots in my stomach. I feel burning in my stomach. God, I'm getting ulcers over things. For what, God? And the Lord said, I need you to get control over your mind. How, preacher? I'm going to get practical. How do I get control over my mind? Hear me. It ain't a good Holy Ghost service where it shakes and bakes you, and that's good. I'm going to tell you how you do it. You ready? It's very simple. It's this posture, and it's this book. That's it. That there is no other. But I need to read this book and watch that preaching video. If that preacher will pray for me. Oh, I've heard that before. God, they'll just lay hands on me. Everything will be changed. No, it won't. Monday's coming. The lights will go out. Music will be gone. The shout will be gone. And that old snake will meet you on Monday morning. Hey, I'm still here. You still doubt what God could do? You still fight fear? You still fight unbelief? You still fight greed, anger, jealousy, lust, bitterness? Is it still, yeah, I'm here? I'm going to tell you what I've done many mornings. I'm done. I preached too long. I'm sitting in my recliner with a good cup of coffee. And I've woke up many mornings with heaviness in my spirit. And just a few minutes later, when I got the book open, I could feel whatever it was lived off of. And then when I got up to pray, woo, I could feel that he knew I had been with the one who made it all. He knew I had been with the one who created everything. So when I prayed, I didn't pray from my flesh. I prayed from the spirit of the word. And the word said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the righteousness, the heritage of the Lord, the Bible says. He said, you've got to go and tell whatever it is. When I was growing up, we sung a song. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know, we win. Another old song we sung was, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Those songs sing good. And I can shout with them, man. It's a miracle I didn't have a heart attack as a kid. God, jumping and running, good God.
God was merciful, I guess. I've ran and jumped myself into a tizzy and got home and felt like somebody took a baseball bat and beat the brakes off of me. And I thought, man, I thought the shout would do it. I thought the running would do it. And I realized, Brad, it ain't how fast you can run, how high you can jump, how good you can spin. I'm going to tell you what matters, hear me, is do you understand how to get in what we call in Pentecostal terms in a spirit of prayer? Now, let me just say something here. What is a spirit of prayer? What does it mean? Because we got some folks, they think because they pray in King James English that they're spiritual. You can laugh. That ain't spiritual. We got some folks think that it depends how many these and thous I say. And some people even think how long I pray determines if God. That ain't true either. Not true. What matters in all prayer, in a breakthrough service, and there's going to be folks in this house get a breakthrough today, I feel it. What matters at your house when you pray, hear me, is that you learn, hear me, to pray is an old Pentecost word, until something happens. When I was growing up, and I'm just 39, but I feel old. I've got an old school spirit sometimes on me. When I was growing up, we had what we called lingering altar call. We just lingered until the Holy Ghost wave moved in the house. And the reason why so many never break through the next phase is because I'm worried about what's happening outside the doors today. And I see God like this. Hey! I'm talking to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about Monday. How about between 11:25 and 11:45? Let's get some things straight today. I'm going to pray until. Well, what if I get quivering? What if I shake? That's okay. It's okay if you move in the Holy Ghost. That's okay. That's just what happens when the wind of the Spirit blows. I told you to think last time, the Bible lists about we're like trees, the Bible says. But we're planted like a tree in the house of the Lord. In the book of Acts, what did he say, Brother Griffith? You can't see the wind, but I can feel it. When I stand outside with the echoes tomorrow and the wind's blowing, only reason, only how, Brother Cody, I know the wind's blowing is I see the trees moving. And so when you come into service, hear me, don't stop it. When you start feeling this number, it's just the wind blowing. And he only blows on a willing vessel. And so if you're open to him today, hear me. If you're open, if you want to, I've seen that five-letter word hinder more people called pride. Again, the suit was too nice, and what they needed was a good Holy Ghost shake down. I just hit a wall about 80 foot tall. I felt it. I'm going to tell it one more time. Pride has hurt more people from getting to past it because pride said, I can't do that, man. Ain't no way I can let myself. Yeah, you can. That's all stand. Yeah, you can. You can step beyond it today. I'd be wrong if I didn't end like this, and not just because it's in my notes, but because I got to do it every service. It in your life is a three-letter word called sin, and you've never experienced the power of the Spirit. You have an opportunity to walk out of this house today totally set free. Everybody said repentance. You probably get tired of me saying it, but I'll say it every service. When you repent of your sins, remember this, God is not looking for an hour and a half repentance. It could be in some cases, but God, all he wants is a sincere heart. That's it. Repentance. The Bible says lots of times it's mixed with tears. It's, God, I'm sorry, I've been a sinner. Remember, what is repentance? I'm going this way, and I turn around and I go. What is it? God doesn't demand perfection. All he asks is that you head in the right direction. That's it. That is repentance. The Bible says you must be, please hear me, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The Bible said we're saved by faith. Some say, well, that sounds like works. We're not saved by works. That's right. But the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So repentance is faith. Baptism, it ain't the preacher. I ain't got no power. The water ain't got no power. It's obedience and faith. God, I obey. When I'm baptized, I'm not sprinkled. Because the word baptism in the Greek is baptizo, to be fully submerged. So I repent. I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to be baptized in the name. Read Acts 4:12. Everything has to be done in his name. And the Bible says, hear me, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Any place in the book of Acts they ever received the Holy Ghost, it was accompanied by a heavenly language. The Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. It's just evidence that it's inside of you. And it's evidence to you and to the believer. So if you don't have that today, if the it in your life, I've been on a path that I'm not satisfied with, God, I'm asking you, Lord, to wash me clean. We love to baptize. I'll baptize you today, tonight, Monday. I love baptizing people any time of the day. It's always right to get baptized. Amen. I'll talk more on some things tonight, but you hear me? It is the will of God to be nothing but a birthing center. I love all you sweet people. I do, and I don't want to get my notes tonight. You're great people, but I'm telling you, there's people right now, I'm telling you, people right now who last night had a needle hanging out their arm. And they've been labeled by their addiction. Be careful that you don't start labeling people by their addiction. That's just an alcoholic. That's a drug addict. No, 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 he's not. No, he's not. Peter was messed up. He couldn't stop cussing. He wanted to kill people. And Jesus said, you're going to be a preacher of the gospel. Now, if he'd been in the UPC, he'd never got his license. Anyone ever heard of Simon the Zealot? He was a disciple, in case you didn't know. But did you know he was a modern-day terrorist? We'd have found him in Iran somewhere. He was known for killing, wanting to overthrow the Roman government. He would kill, he would blow up, whatever he had to do in the name of religion. And Jesus said, you look like a pretty good guy to put on the ministerial staff. Now hear me, now I'm going way too long, but you hear me. And this is what I do. I'm God's man. And Paul said something that knocks me upside the head. Hey, don't forget, Brad, and such were some of you. But you've been washed by the blood. The reason why you're here, boy, is because the blood made a way. So what I'm telling you is this, is there's lots of sinners. Maybe here today, being a sinner ain't a bad person. The Bible says that God is drawn to need. If he's here today, it's because there's a bunch of needs in the house. And if you're a sinner today, hear me. I'll get back to the corporate body in 2 minutes. But if you're a sinner and have never received the Holy Ghost, please make today count. Please make today count. And remember this, heaven celebrates every step. Repentance, baptism, the angels, there's joy in the presence of the angels over this one sinner who just repents. I'm telling you today, and I'll preach on it tonight more, but this community is full of people. It's a great crowd here in the morning, but you hear what I'm telling you. It cannot hold the people. Nobody, but you hear what I'm telling you. The church can't hold the people. Not because of us. It ain't about numbers. It's about salvation, I'm telling you, that God wants to see. He wants every, hear me, every economic status in this house. He wants every color of skin in this house. I think we do better than that. He wants every color of skin in this house. He wants it to reflect from the pew to leadership. Oh, I feel it right now. He's going to do that in this house. It's going to reflect from the pulpit to the pew. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, these altars are open for you. And if you're born born again believer, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you today, but whatever it is that's been holding you hostage, I'm going to invite us as a corporate body. I know it's a little bit late, I've been a little too long, but I want us to invite us as a corporate body to come and pray today. And I want you to do me a favor, just tell it, whatever it is, get the memo, he's alive. The tomb is empty. I don't have to live this way anymore. I'm getting my mind back. I'm getting my spirit back. I'm getting my soul back in order today before I leave. Why don't we all come as these ladies begin to sing today? Come on, church. Go tell it, whatever it is, that God is alive. Come on, somebody. He's seated high up on the throne. He has all power in heaven and in earth.
I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna turn.
Stepped into what God was calling him to, he had to step to the mouth of the cave. The Bible says when Elijah stepped to the mouth of the cave, God spoke to him and gave him marching orders and said, "This is what I want you to do." Hear me today, somebody. This journey of stepping out of it, whatever it is, hear what I'm telling you. Sometimes it's a process. It's the mind. It's getting your spirit right. It's getting back in the Word. It's getting back to praying again, because you used to pray a minute a day, and God said, "I need more than that from you. I need some commitment out of you." Okay? And when you hear me, when you start stepping out through prayer, through His Word, through, hear me, speak, sometimes, I know it sounds weird, but sometimes I've got to speak to myself and say, "Now, Brad, that ain't God. That ain't the enemy. He's trying to, that's the enemy. It's not God speaking to you." You got to step out of that and stop letting that voice have control and authority. That's super spiritual. No, it ain't. It's all in the Bible. Do you realize that Elijah was suicidal 24 hours after the greatest miracle ever recorded in the Old Testament? Suicidal. Fire fell from heaven. Prophets killed, a nation decided they would serve the Lord, and one Instagram post put him out of business. "So help me God, if I don't kill you like you killed my prophets." And he got suicidal. And he knew he couldn't kill himself, so he said, "God, if you don't mind, would you please kill me?" But what I'm saying is he had to come to a place, and God had to get him to a place where he could hear his voice again. Oh, I feel like some of you, it's been so long since you've heard that voice again. And the Holy Ghost is trying to pull you up. We're talking on Wednesday night, seeking after his presence. But you hear me, before we get to Wednesday night, I'm telling you, you can start seeking that today. Because God wants to pull you above the clouds, above the storm. Anybody feel that right now? God, have mercy. Would you join hands before we dismiss? Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, the Holy Ghost would descend in this house. Give somebody confidence again. Who your voice is distant, Lord. It's not because you left them. It's because we let stuff and all the it's get in our lives. Oh! In the name of Jesus. Come on, a deep move of the Holy Ghost has hit this house. Come on, it's been a long time since somebody travailed, and the Holy Ghost wants you to cry out in the Spirit. Woo. That's it, come on. Come on, I feel a move here right now. Take you up right now.
right now. That's it. That's it.
Service. Thank you for your response to the altar. Thank you, praise team. Man, it's so good to be in God's presence. Everyone said Sunday night.
Sunday night.
It'd be great. 5:30, 5:40. If we met together and prayed in the prayer rooms for a few minutes tonight, and the Holy Ghost could shift some things here. Amen. 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 I believe that. I mean, it'd be a good idea. Let's come if you can. I know some can't. You have places to be. I get all that. But if you can be here, please be at prayer tonight at 5:30. And I am convinced that everything starts and ends with prayer. There's nothing else but prayer. That's what gets us where we are. Amen. So I encourage you to come to prayer tonight. Amen. Don't forget, if you're going to the Nacho Dinner, that's next door in Family Life Center. Amen. God bless you for being in service. We love you. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here this evening. Shake somebody's hand, and we'll see you back here at 5:30 for prayer. Tonight, I'll be 35 minutes off the ground. 30 minutes in. And I may stay soon.